Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. Does God want you successful? Has He given us a key or a secret to true success? We're going to answer those two questions in today's episode on the Faith for My Generation podcast. Good morning. This is your wake-up call. It's wake-up call 093, the key to unstoppable success. I'm your host, AJ, and once again, I'm so glad that you're watching and that you're listening. And if you're a first-time listener, hey, I'm glad that you've joined us today on the Faith for My Generation podcast. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and we're going to look at the life of a king named Uzziah, who was king of Judah. We're going to work through this chapter, and we're going to see that King Uzziah, he discovered the key, the secret that's actually not too secret at all. It's written down in the scriptures, but the secret, the key to unstoppable success. You know, I made sure to put that phrase in there, unstoppable success, because there are types of success where you may hit a good streak or a good run and you're doing really well, but then it falls off, it lags off. We've probably all experienced that in some form or fashion, right? At least in my life, you know, there's different areas of my life. Maybe like being healthy, I'm on a good health kick and I'm eating healthy and I'm staying active, working out, and for days, weeks, months, and then something happens and you get out of routine, and next thing you know, you are chest deep in Cheetos and you don't know what's happened, right? You had a good run, but it stopped. What we're looking at today is unstoppable success. 2 Chronicles 26, starting at verse 1. Let's read a couple verses. Verse 1, now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He, Amaziah, built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecholah of Jerusalem. So these first three verses of 2 Chronicles 26, it gives us a very, very limited but somewhat foundational understanding of Uzziah. Uzziah was the son of Amaziah. Amaziah was a king of Judah, and he was assassinated by his own men. Amaziah, he won some battles. He got prideful and lifted up. And then he decided, you know what, I'm going to go against Israel. He defeated Edom. He comes off of a victory. And instead of just enjoying the victory, instead of just doing what he should do, and that is build his own kingdom, he decides to attack his brother, Israel. This is during the time where Israel and Judah are divided. There was a time, there came to a time where Israel and Judah split. It was after Solomon passed away. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, became very harsh against all the people, all the men that were working for him to build Jerusalem and build up Israel. And he was heavily taxing them. And so 10 tribes split off, and that's what we see as Israel. And then Judah and Benjamin, they were together, and that's what we see as Judah in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles and through the prophets. It's very important to keep that in mind, that there is a period between Saul, David, and Solomon where the kingdom is united. But after Solomon, it's divided. And during this time of a divided kingdom, you have Amaziah, who is ruling over Judah, and he loses a major battle against Israel. And because of that, his men are so fed up with it, they execute him. They assassinate him. Well, they make his son Uzziah king. Now think about it. I'm 33, and we have people from all different ages, all over across the world, all over the states, everywhere, different ages, men, women, boys, girls that listen to the podcast, teenagers, to retired folks. We've got the whole shebang, I guess you might say. But I'm 33. I'm just trying to think, like, you know, I don't know if I would want to run a kingdom and be a king at 33, let alone 16. but he took the job at 16. He was appointed to king of Judah at 16 years old. And he ruled and reigned over Judah for 52 years. Now that would make him 68 when he passes away, which isn't a long life today by any stretch of the imagination, but in this day and age it was pretty well long, not near as long as generations before them, but concerning what was going on and the things taking place, not too far off, not too far off from a long life. But even more so, his rule and reign was 52 years long. That, just fun fact, that's the second longest reign of any king in Judah or Israel. The longest was Manasseh for 55 years. Now, Uzziah was a good king. Verse 4 says this, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 4, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. So he took after his father, who was for the most part a good king, until he fell into pride. Pride always brings destruction. A haughty spirit always brings destruction. Pride always goes before a fall. Proverbs 16:18 tells us that. We did an entire series, 6 sessions on humility, and then 6 sessions on pride. And you can go check that out on the Faith for My Generation podcast, anywhere that you're watching or listening. And we talked in depth about humility and pride. Pride always destroys. Pride is so destructive. Pride is self-deceiving. And we're actually going to see something very peculiar that I never saw before until I was listening to a teaching by John Brevere, who was ministering on this gentleman and this portion of Scripture as well. And he showed me something that I never saw before concerning pride. Verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 26 says this, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, or could be translated the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Well, spoiler alert, you don't have to listen anymore. There's the key to an unstoppable success. That's it. We're 7 minutes in, and you already know the key to unstoppable success. It's verse 5. He sought God. Uzziah sought the Lord in everything he did. He sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, this is not the Zechariah that we see in the Old Testament that was a prophet. That's a different time. That's during the time of restoration and rebuilding of the temple and of Jerusalem. That's many years from now. This Zechariah was someone who obviously was filled with the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God and gave good instruction to Uzziah, because this Zechariah had understanding in the fear of God. More than likely, he was a teacher of the word, a teacher of the law. Maybe he was a Levite or a priest or a scribe, but he was nonetheless, this Zechariah was a man of God who taught Uzziah and gave godly wisdom and instruction. You know, the Bible tells us that in the book of Proverbs, that we should surround ourselves with good, wise counsel. In the multitude of counselors, it tells us that there's a blessing there. Let's see if we can find that. Is that Proverbs 15? There it is, Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry. You know, if you don't have good counsel, your plans are going to be terrible plans. They're not going to work out. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And so we see Uzziah here, he has godly counsel. You know, it is so important, regardless of what stage or age you are in your life, to surround yourself with godly men and women who will give you the truth and give you good counsel, who will speak, you know, straight. They'll speak to you like it is. They'll tell you what God's word says. They love you enough to tell you the truth. There's never a time in your life where you don't want to be surrounded by people who love you enough to tell you the truth and who will speak the truth of God's word to you. And Uzziah had someone like that. You know, one of the most dangerous things you can have is a yes man. What's a yes man? That's someone that just says yes to everything. You know, we can look at famous people that we might think, well, how did this person die so young? Or how did they get into this stupidity or destroy themselves when they were surrounded by all these family and friends and different people. You think of maybe like Elvis or Michael Jackson, these different people that got into self-destructive habits and such. But why didn't no one stop them? And what you begin to dig back and you see all these people that surrounded these persons, all they did was say yes. They just went along with the ride. Sure, yes. Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Yes, men will destroy you. But godly counsel will prosper you. Because that's what verse 5 tells us. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions, the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. God made him successful. So we opened up this episode today, and I asked the simple question, does God want you successful? And is there a key to unstoppable success? And the answer is yes to both of those questions. God wants you to be successful in every area and every endeavor of your life when you are following His will, when you are submitted to Him, when you are sanctified or set apart for His glory, when you're walking with Him, when you're seeking Him, when your heart is turned towards Him with everything that's in you, God will prosper you. He will cause you to be successful in any and every area and every endeavor of your life. The idea that God doesn't want you successful is just really a ridiculous idea. I'm a father of two. I have a daughter and a son. I want both of my children to be highly successful. I want them to win in every area of life because my definition of success and winning for them is peace and wholeness and abundance in any and every area of life. I don't want them to suffer. I don't want them to fall or struggle. I don't want them to be hurt. I don't want them to lose. I want them to win. I want them to be successful. The New Living Translation reads verse 5 like this. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. So does God want you successful? Yes. If he didn't want you successful, he wouldn't make you successful when you seek his face and when you seek after him and you seek counsel from God. How do we seek counsel from God? Look at that again. Verse 5, it says this. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. That idea of sought, seeking to inquire, desiring, looking, consulting, asking. As long as Uzziah went to the Lord and said, Lord, what should I do? How should I govern your kingdom? What affairs should I take care of this day and this week, this month? Should I go to battle here? How should I set up the economy of this nation? How should I treat people? How should I rule and reign? What is a godly king to do? And as long as he did that, he was unstoppable in being successful. Now, the next couple verses list areas of his success. Verse 6, now he went out and made war against the Philistines, broke down the wall of Gath, which, by the way, that's the city where Goliath came from. Fun fact. The wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. He built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur, Baal, and against the Midianites. So, here he is, he's going forth in battle. He's conquered the Philistines, the Arabians, and the Ammonites. Verse 8, also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, and he became exceedingly strong. Well, verse 7, we see that God helped him in his battles. Verse 8, he became exceedingly strong. Look at this, verse 9, and Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. He built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. And he also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. So now we see that Uzziah is not only winning in battles, conquering enemies to the point where enemies are now sending him money. That's a pretty good battle, isn't it? It's one thing to win a war. It's another to have your enemies send you a paycheck after the war's over. But that's what happened for him. Then he's building up walls. He's building cities. He's building gates. He's building fortified towers. He's digging wells. His livestock, his cattle's growing. He's got land in the lowlands and in the plains. He had farmers, vine dressers. He loved the dirt. I love the dirt too, because the dirt grows plants. Cows eat plants, and cows produce steaks, or rather become steaks. But he loved the soil. Now look at this, verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll as prepared by Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 men that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, slings to cast stones. Verse 15, and he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. So notice this, Uzziah, he seeks God. He discovers the key to unstoppable success. He's a young man. Now, you got to give it credit to Uzziah. He's 16 years old when he becomes king. But he had enough wisdom and knowledge to follow the pattern of his father in what was godly and right. And then he started to seek wise counsel from Zechariah, and he sought the Lord in everything he did. And that put him in a place where literally everything he did succeeded. He's winning battles. He's winning wars. There's tribute money coming into his kingdom. He's digging wells. He's digging towers. Building walls, building fortified cities. He's farming. He's ranching. He has a military of 307,000 men with 2,600 commanders who have basically they're deployed by rotation. So it's like kind of like an idea of a militia of men, and I don't know, it doesn't say exactly, but maybe if there's 307,000, maybe there's 20 or 30,000 men units that are deployed, and they serve for a couple months, and then the next rotation, and they're fighting battles, and they're winning. And then he gives all his army, his entire troops are covered in shield, spear, helmet, body armor, bows, slings. They're fully decked out. They've got the best gear, which makes a big difference, especially in this day and age when they're fighting hand to hand. There are no drone strikes. There are no snipers. There's nothing from long range. There's no tanks. There's no Humvees. There's no helicopters. There's no air support. This is hand to hand, spear to sword to sling combat. And they had the best of the armor and the best of the weaponry. And then on top of that, he had skillful men who created inventions, which what we see here is catapults. Josephus, interesting fact, Josephus, an historian that lived a little bit after Jesus did, but a historian of much of the Jewish history, he made the statement that this would be the first, in recorded history, the first instance of catapults. I just think that's pretty neat. This man, this Judean king who sought God, had skillful men that invented catapults that they put on the walls and on the corners of the walls, the sling arrows and stones. And from that, his fame spread far and wide, and he was marvelously helped. We saw that he sought God, God prospered him. Verse 5. Verse 7, God helped him. Verse 8, he became exceedingly strong. Verse 15, he was marvelously helped. Now, I don't know about you, but all those things are exactly what I want in my life. I want God to prosper me. I want God to help me. I want God to make me exceedingly strong. And I want God to marvelously help me. That's what it means to be successful. And that's what unstoppable success sounds like. But something happened. Because here's the truth. Unstoppable success can be stopped. I know, it almost sounds like a conundrum, right? It sounds like a, you know, wait a minute, how can unstoppable success be stopped? Well, no outside force can stop unstoppable success. When you're seeking God and you're submitted and surrendered to Him, you will succeed, and no external outward force can stop you in your success. There's no devil in hell that is now or would ever be created that has enough power to stop God's hand of favor and power on your life. But there is one thing that can stop your success in God. Let's find out. Uzziah shows it. He shows it very clearly. Verse 16, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." Verse 17, "So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, 'It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you've trespassed. You shall have no honor from God.'" Uzziah discovered the one thing that can stop unstoppable success: pride. He was lifted up. Verse 16, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up." His heart was lifted up. I mentioned it before, but let me read it word for word. Proverbs 16, 18. Tell us very plainly what happens when pride comes in. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." A haughty spirit before a stumbling. Uzziah, who was unstoppable, he was prospered, he was helped, marvelously helped, he was exceedingly strong, he allowed pride to come in. It lifted him up to the point to where he thought, you know what? I'm successful in every area of my life. I'm going to go in and do my own worship. I don't need this Levitical priesthood. Yeah, they're just taking up too much time. Let me go do my own thing. I don't know if he said that exactly, but we can see by his heart and his actions, he went into the temple and he decided he was going to burn incense on the altar of incense. Maybe he was looking at other kings of other nations and thinking, you know what, those kings, they worship their gods. I'm going to do that too. But here's the problem. God specifically said in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, that there would be one tribe, the tribe of Levi. And amongst that tribe, there would be certain people that could worship or could serve God in worship in the tabernacle, and then now eventually the temple, Solomon's temple, and they could only be between a certain age, and they had certain criteria they had to meet in their bodies and in their lifestyle, and only certain people could be set apart to be ministers in this house of worship. And because God said that was to be the case, it is so. And Uzziah said, nah. Pride caused him to go against the command of God. Pride always does that. Anytime you're caught up in pride, anytime you're filled with pride, you're going to see the command of God and think, that doesn't apply to me. I do my own thing. That's pride. Really what pride is building up an idol in your heart. it's elevating and lifting yourself up above God in your own mind, which is idolatry. Well, thank God Azariah and 80 other Levitical priests, valiant men, strong men, they didn't care that this was the king and a prosperous king and a strong and mighty king. When he comes in, they stop and say, and Azariah says, look, you have no right to come in here. It is not for you to do this act of worship. It is our job. We've been sanctified by God. We've been called by God. And for your own good, you need to leave. You've trespassed. You need to get out of the sanctuary. You'll receive no honor from God. Here's the thing. When we're disobedient, if someone is disobedient, you, me, anyone, we will never receive honor from God. And Azariah is trying to help him out right now. Well, what happens? Verse 19. Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. He's ready. I'm going to go burn my own incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead, before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. Uzziah, he did not heed the word of Azariah, the priest. He didn't listen to the rebuke, to the correction. You know, sometimes the word of God, when it comes to us, it encourages us. It gives us instruction. But then sometimes the word of God corrects us. It rebukes us. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, that means evidence, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice that one of the four areas of ministry the Word of God has, doctrine, evidence, correction, and instruction, one of them is correction. One of the areas that of the ministry of the Word of God is correction. Uzziah was lifted up in pride. When you're lifted up in pride, you don't receive correction. I don't need to hear that. Don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I see fit. And what happened to him? This contagious, cancerous skin disease called leprosy that literally it eats the flesh into the body and eats and gnaws away your body and consumes you. I mean, you can lose, if it starts in your limbs, it can literally eat and rot away your limbs to where they're consumed. It destroys the body. This leprosy touches his forehead and begins to spread on his body. When Azariah and the other priests see it, they thrust him out because now he's unclean. He certainly can't be in the temple of God. But also, Uzziah, he begins to think, something's going on. He sees the leprosy and he turns and he leaves as well. And he was struck. Because of his sin, leprosy came upon him. Because of pride, he entered into sin and it brought destruction. Sin always brings destruction. You know, we always quote this concerning salvation, but just listen to this. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages, the payment, the paycheck for the work of sin, I like to say, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin always brings death. Sometimes it can be physical, soulish, spiritual. But sin that is not repented of and continually practiced, it brings eternal death, separation from God for all of eternity. But sin always destroys. Jesus said that the thief, Satan, who is the father of sin, he said that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Any place there is sin, there is stealing, there is killing, and there is destruction. And Uzziah, because of his sin, this leprosy comes on of him. Now notice what happens. It's sad, but it's for our good instruction that we can see this testimony. This particular instance, it's not everyone in the Bible that it was successful, fell off, and lost success in their relationship with the Lord. Some do, but even the ones that, you know, kind of make us sad, we should still listen to them. We should still see what they did and make sure we never allow that action or that pride or whatever they did into our life. so that we don't suffer the same destruction. Verse 21, 2 Chronicles 26, 21. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Verse 22, now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. So Uzziah, verse 23, last verse, so Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. So the great King Uzziah, who started out really good, really strong, and in fact, he is king during his days of king, when he becomes king, during those beginning days of his kingship, that's when Isaiah is called into ministry, the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah is the one who writes down this portion of 2 Chronicles concerning Uzziah, because Isaiah ministered through the entire span of Uzziah. Those ayahs are sounding really close. Isaiah, the prophet, ministered through the entire span of King Uzziah's reign. And he wrote down what took place. In fact, you read about Uzziah in 1 Kings 14 and 15, but it's just a few verses. It's basically like there was a King Uzziah. He did pretty good, but then he sinned and he died. Like, it's super short. It's like 5-6 verses, very short. 2 Chronicles gives us the spiritual side of it. And Uzziah, because of his pride, he was lifted up, and he went from enjoying unstoppable success. No one could defeat him. No one could stop him. Every area of his life was successful, growing, and abounding, exactly what God wanted, because the success was from God. But the one person that could stop it was Uzziah, and he was his own worst enemy. And it's no different for you and me. When we're lockstep, hooked up, following the will of God, committed to the will of God, seeking the will of God, when we're living by the truth of His Word, when we're following the voice of the Holy Spirit, who is going to stop us? There's no devil in hell, nor any person who wants to be an agent of wickedness that can stop us. They can't do it. But we can stop seeking the Lord. And at that point, unstoppable success is cut off. And now the mighty King Uzziah, he's a leper, he's separated. Never again can he go to the temple of God to worship. He's in a house, isolated. His son now is basically ruling and reigning the king by proxy. And then when he dies, he's buried in a field beside the king's graveyard. So there's a graveyard where the kings are buried. Can you imagine? I'm sure it's amazing sepulchers and places that they were buried. He's buried in the field beside the king's cemetery. Even when he dies, he can't be restored back to where he was, because they said he's a leper. They didn't even want to put his leprous corpse around other corpses. Imagine how far he fell because of pride, and he was lifted up. Now, I mentioned this earlier. I was going to show you something that I learned when I was listening to John Bevere teach a message on humility. And he references King Uzziah. It's interesting, and I never saw this before because I've read this passage before, but John Bevere said this. Ask yourself the question. Those that are listening right now, ask yourself this question. Did Uzziah become more or less religious when he became prideful? When he became prideful, did he become more or less religious? Before we answer that question, here's a second question. Did he become more or less godly? Well, the second one's easier. When he was lifted up in pride, he became less godly. He quit seeking the Lord. But did he become more religious? Yeah. He became more, the more prideful he became, the more religious he became. It wasn't until he was lifted up in pride that he decided, I'll go be my own priest. Look, there's just no way around it. He was called to be king. And in that day and age, there, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, there's never been a king that was also a priest and a prophet. We do see some priests, they start off as priests, and they're called into the ministry of the prophet. Samuel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Isaiah, I believe I'm correct in all those. They were priests in the priesthood and called into the ministry of prophet. But we never see in all of the Old Testament a king who was also a priest. But Christ, when he came fulfilling scripture, he was a king, a priest, and a prophet. There's a band called Small Town Poets from the early 90s. They're still playing, but they have a huge hit song from the early 90s. Prophet, Priest, and King. Oh, it's so good. Early CCM music stuff. It's good stuff. Prophet, priest, and king. Only Jesus was the prophet, priest, and king. So Uzziah was called to be king. He gets out of his lane because of pride. And when he becomes more prideful, he becomes more religious, but less godly. And I thought that was so interesting because oftentimes religion, pride, will wear a mask of religion. Pride will wear a mask of outward show. Someone that's lifted up in pride, they may still be real showy and real religious, but they're not godly. There's no power. You know, what is that? 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy, let's see if I get it. 1 Timothy 4. Nope, it's got to be 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3 then. Yep, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. This is referring to the end times which we're living, the last days of perilous times and perilous men. And it's speaking of verse 2 of 2 Timothy 3, men will become lovers of themselves. And there's a bunch of list of traits of these people, of the characteristics of people in these last days we're living. In verse 5 it says this, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. So there is a group of people, there are certain types of people that have a form, they have an outward show of godliness. They look really good and religious. They say the right words. They do the right motions. They look religious, but they deny the saving, empowering work of the Holy Ghost, the power that baptizes Christians to do the works of Christ and to fulfill the call of Christ in the earth and build the church. They deny all that. They deny the real power, but man, they look good. And that's what happens when someone's lifted up in pride. Religion increases and godliness decreases. I thought that was amazing. I just thought that was so interesting to see that. And it's true. Satan, you know, he's an high angel in the kingdom of heaven, lifted up in pride. What does he immediately want to do? I want to be like God. Becoming less like God, lifted up in pride, so that he can be a God, which is the pinnacle of a religious system. Never let pride get into your heart, but rather seek God in all things, and you too will enjoy unstoppable success. I want to end on a high note. I want you to know that even though Uzziah didn't live it out to the end, you and I, we don't have to do that. We can live it out to the end. We can run this race with unstoppable success, that we can be connected with God. And if we know this, man, it just keeps coming up in my heart, different verses. But let's finish on this. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the true definition of unstoppable success. If God's for us, it don't matter who is against us. We're going through and we're going to win. Hey, I'm so thankful that you joined me on this Faith for My Generation podcast episode. If you're watching and listening, whatever platform you're watching or listening on, please make sure you subscribe or follow so that you never miss a brand new episode when we release them. Every Monday and Thursday, we release brand new episodes, and we want to make sure that you're getting those notifications. So if it's Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Make sure that you subscribe, follow, or whatever the method is to stay up to date for our most recent episodes. You can always check out faithformygeneration.com for all the backlog of episodes, or wherever you're listening or watching from, you probably could just scroll back and listen to other episodes. I'm thankful for you. I pray this has been a blessing to you. And remember, you and I, as we commit our ways to God, and we seek Him in all that we do, we can enjoy unstoppable success. And I know we will, because we are the faithful. I'll see you next time. God bless.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you. And every Thursday, I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.